With the exception of Christmas and Easter, let me welcome you to Jesus' next favorite Sunday. That's Missions Day. I'm excited. Every year, this day stands out to me. It means a lot to me as the missions pastor. I want you to picture a scenario. And it's a scenario that some of you may be able to relate to. But there's two men in a car, and they're driving down the road, and they're on this long road trip. And the two men in the car are a grandfather and his teenage grandson. Now, these two men are obviously from different generations, right? Which means that they obviously have distinctly different taste in music. But these two men, they face this all too familiar dilemma, right? This car has only been equipped with one radio. So the question is, what kind of music is this grandfather and teenage grandson going to listen to on this road trip? So the grandfather turns on the radio. After all, it's his car. He's paying for the gas. He should be able to set the agenda, right? And much to his satisfaction, a classic rock song comes on the station, and it's the Rolling Stones. He loves the Rolling Stones. He begins to sing the song. He knows every single word, and he's just kind of basking in this moment. And his grandson has the audacity to change the dial. And his grandfather's just taken back, like, how could you do that to me? And the grandson, he changes the dial to a different genre of music, contemporary pop. That's what he's into. So all of a sudden, you have the vocals of one Mick Jagger being replaced with the vocals of one Justin Bieber. Now, two different responses from these two gentlemen in the car at this moment. The grandfather is thinking, how in the world can you think it's a good idea to replace a classic anthem, a classic rock anthem, with this computer-generated trash, all right? That's what the grandfather is thinking. And the grandson is thinking, man, this is a big upgrade. We got rid of this old, stale music. I'm introducing my grandpa to the new tunes of the day. But, you know, the grandson can tell that the grandfather is not digging it. He is not liking this music. He is not a Bieberite. And so the grandson begins to talk about how awesome Justin Bieber is and how millennials love him. And he's won all these awards and he's super famous. And every time he puts a new music video up on YouTube, he gets like a billion views. And the grandfather's not tracking. He doesn't know what YouTube is. He doesn't care about any of these arguments. So he does what any good grandfather would do. He changes the station back to classic rock. And because it is his responsibility to train his grandson up in the ways, right? So he starts to talk to his grandson about, he says, grandson, I know in school you've learned the law of aerodynamics. You've learned the law of gravity. Well, let me tell you about the law of music. And the law of music says that the best music ever was created in the 1960s and 70s. So by definition, the Rolling Stones are greater than Justin Bieber. So the grandfather just starts rolling off all of these great classic hits by the Stones. I Can't Get No Satisfaction, Paint It Black, Beasts of Burden, Get Off My Cloud. Some of you are tracking with me. 19th Nervous Breakdown. And he just looks over to his grandson and says, grandson, you can't always get what you want. But if you try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need. And what you need right now is a good lesson in what good music is all about. Well, needless to say, they listen to a lot of classic rock, a lot of Rolling Stones on this trip that they're on. But when it comes to who is greater, Justin Bieber or the Rolling Stones, the grandfather leaves his best argument on the table. And the argument is the dynamic of influence. Because without the Rolling Stones, you don't have Justin Bieber. Now you have the physical human Justin Bieber. The Stones didn't have anything to do with the birth of Justin Bieber. But, you know, every artist, every musician is influenced by something or someone or someone's music, right? And if we look at the Justin Bieber musical tree of influence, what we will discover is that the greatest influence on Justin Bieber's music as a young person was Justin Timberlake. And if you look at the influences of Justin Timberlake, the greatest influence on him and his music was Michael Jackson. And if you look at the greatest influence on Michael Jackson, it was a gentleman by the name of Marvin Gaye. And if you listen, or, and if you read about Marvin Gaye, what you'll find out is the band that had the most influence on him as a young person was the Rolling Stones. So in a sense, what you have happening here is the Stones' influence is living on in Justin Bieber. And I tell you all this silly story just to make the point that, guys, influence is incredibly powerful. Influence is incredibly powerful. And tracing the totality of its reach is really unknowable. We just don't know when we influence how far it's going. You know, in 1962, when the Stones got together, do you think they could have ever imagined how popular they would become? No, of course not. And switching gears, just thinking about the history of Christianity. You know, it's chock full of churches that have done amazing things in the name of Christ, who've had amazing impact here in the world. And they likely didn't even know all of the influence, all of the impact that they had. But you know what's also true is that if we had a list of maybe the top 10 most influential churches of all time, if they had such a list, or the top 25 even, unless they're mentioned in the Bible, or unless you're maybe a church historian, you probably couldn't name one of them. You couldn't name one of them. Even though you still feel their influence today, you don't remember them. And the reality is, most likely, you know, a day is coming when no one will remember Ninth and O Baptist Church. You know, no one will even recall this church, will even remember the silly name that the church on Breckenridge is called Ninth and O. And a day is coming, it's not so far away, when no one will remember the name Laverne Butler, which is shocking to some of you in this congregation. And a day is coming when no one will remember the name Bill Cook. Guys, in life, our names pass away. But what I want us to see is that our influence can still live on. I want you to look at the screen for just a moment. I want you to see a handful of names on the screen. And just by a show of hands, who feels pretty confident they know what this list is? Okay, we got kind of a maybe here. I might. Okay, got another one over here. Okay, not many of you. There's probably only one name on there you really recognize. But these are the people that the Lord used to establish this church. Okay, 1906, these people said, hey, we got a growing city, a lot's happening, we got Churchill Downs here, we got a new Major League Baseball team, you know, we've got to reach the people, let's plant a church, and this is the people. Yet we can't even remember their names, we don't know them. And it's not like, I mean, this was 100 years ago, but you would think we might remember those who founded this church, especially coming off our 100-year anniversary. But let me just tell you this, by God's grace, and for his glory, our influence will be felt long after our names are forgotten. By God's grace and for his glory, our influence will be felt long after our names are forgotten. So the goal for us in life, the goal is really for us to fade, right? For us to fade, you know, our names don't matter, but we want Christ's name to march on. For his fame to grow in the earth. And this morning, I just want to communicate one idea to you, one big, big idea. And that is, guys, we are called to influence, we are called to die, and we are called to be forgotten. We're called to influence, we're called to die, and we're called to be forgotten as Christ's name lives on. This morning, you can turn to Acts chapter 13. Hopefully, you're familiar with this passage. You may have looked at it in just a few minutes ago in your BFG, but I want us to just consider, just for a moment, the church of Antioch in Syria. And this is one of those churches that would definitely be on that list of top 10 most influential churches of all time. This is a church that God used in amazing ways. This is the church where believers were first called Christians. This was the first kind of outpost, so to speak, for the word of God to expand beyond the Jewish nation to the Gentile world. And this church was on fire. When you think about the world's most famous mission trips, and maybe you don't think about that too often, but as missions pastor, I think about these things. But when you think about the world's most famous mission trips, you probably would go with Paul's missionary journey number one, Paul's missionary journey number two, Paul's missionary journey number three. All of them launched out of this church. Now, that's some kind of missions ministry that they must have had going on there at the church of Antioch. So this is an unbelievably influential church. And if we were able just to trace the origins of the explosion of Christianity on the scene in the first several centuries after Christ, a lot of those origins would find themselves going back to this group of believers, this local church, this congregation in Antioch. But what made them so influential? Well, You just talked about this in your BFG, right? What are some of the different marks or the different characteristics of a healthy, missions-focused church? But what I would contend to you today is that influence is grounded in the 1-2 punch of prayer and proclamation. Influence, in terms of us as Christians, is grounded in the 1-2 punch of prayer and proclamation. You know, the great theologian John Stott, who passed away several years ago, he'd written an article in Christianity Today in 2011. And the article was entitled, 4 Ways the Church Influences the World. And he mentions in there that we influence the church because of just our unity as a people. We influence the church because of the example that we live out before others. But he says it's the two main pieces of influence that we have, the two main factors is prayer and the proclaiming of truth. And that's the type of church that we need to be focused on, proclaiming the truth and combining that with prayer. I want to read for us Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. You just looked at them in your BFG, but let me read them to you again. Now there were in the church of Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Verse 3. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. You know, there is a lot going on in these three verses. And we could spend an hour just unpacking what's happening here. And this amazing group of people that the Lord has brought together to lead this church. This is a diverse group of people, an eclectic group of people. And I believe that God did that because they were going to have to reach an eclectic, diverse world. And we see that they had this innate drive to influence the world for Christ. And I just wonder what that would have been like to have been so close to the time of Christ. And they were so close to the time of Christ. And what did they do? They fasted, they prayed, they depended on the Holy Spirit, and they went out proclaiming the word of God. And I love how dependent they were on prayer. You know, a church that will fast and pray to discern God's will. And I think that's what we see happening in verse 2 here. They're praying, they're fasting, they're worshiping, they're wanting to hear from the Holy Spirit. If a church is doing that on the front end, they're doing it on the back end. Which means here in verse 3, once they've discerned the will of the Lord is calling them to send out missionaries to the world to reach the Gentile people. Do you think they just stopped praying? Do you think they just stopped fasting and doing these things? Of course not. You know, as Paul and Barnabas are, you know, they're laying hands on them, they send them out. Do you think after they disappeared in the horizon, they just stopped praying? Okay, we're done. Our work is done. Of course not. They continued to pray. They knew where they were going. They knew the types of encounters they would have. They knew the opposition that they would face, and they prayed specific prayers. They prayed prayers for the proclaimers. And it could have been in your BFG this morning that maybe you looked at some of these types of prayers that the Antioch church would have needed to pray for Paul and Barnabas, because they were so dependent on their home church to be interceding for them, to be petitioning for them, that God would protect them. But if we were to look through chapters 13 and 14, which is the recording of this first missionary journey, we would see how desperate these missionaries were for specific prayers. And I mention this because, guys, we need to remember that the missionaries that we know that have been adopted by our BFGs, guys, they desperately need these same types of prayers because they're encountering some of the same things. They're encountering spiritual warfare and discouragement, maybe even disunity amongst other Christians, as we see here in the first missionary journey here. We see that they need prayer for perseverance. They need wisdom as they plant churches, appoint leaders. We need to pray these same types of prayers. You know, and as we segue, as we think about 2018, what I just want to communicate to you today is that, yes, we've got to go. I need you guys. We're in this together. This is a community thing. But we also have to be praying. We need to be a praying church as we head into 2018, as we look to what God has in store for us. But I want us to talk just a minute about just opportunities for influence. Opportunities for influence that you're going to have as a congregation this next year. These are not the things that include like you talking to your neighbors, you need to be doing that. You talking to your coworkers, you need to be doing that. These are the things that we've organized, we've planned, we've strategized. But let me just point out a few things. In your seats this morning, you have these cards. Let me just mention the prayer card. You know, I get it. Most time, these prayer cards, they end up underneath the seat in your car. You kind of lose it. They get lost in your Bible for 6 months, and you forget about them. I understand these things. But what I would say to you is, like, make a commitment today to say, you know, I'm going to keep up with the prayer card. I'm going to put it on my fridge. Maybe I'm going to take a picture of it with my phone so I don't forget what's on the prayer card. Maybe you put a reminder in your calendar every day on your phone. At a certain time, I'm going to pray for whatever the prayer is that day. But some of the best work that we can do as a congregation is simply praying. Praying for what God is doing. Praying that God would use our influence in the world. Adopt a missionary initiative. Some of you are like, what is Adopt a Missionary Initiative? On the missions team, we call it AAMI. And this is basically when your BFG took on a missionary and said, you know, we're going to take care of them. We're going to communicate with them. We're going to pray for them. We're going to encourage them. I'm excited just to let you know, for the very first time since we started this a handful of years ago, every adult BFG has adopted a missionary. Many of you have adopted two. Now, we have a couple of BFGs that have been newly formed, and they're kind of in process for it. But I tell you, that is some of the best stuff that we do as a congregation. And we don't talk about it much church-wide, but hopefully in your BFG, you know who your missionary is, and you're praying for them, and you're encouraging them. So that's some of the best stuff that we do as a church. But you know, you saw the mission trip leaders in a few minutes ago on that missions video. And one of the things that we've tried to do as a missions team is we want to have a multifaceted, kind of well-orbed approach to missions. What I mean by that is not only do we want to pray for these missionaries, and by the way, we know them, they came out of our congregation, we want to support them any way we can. So a lot of the people that we're going to see this next year, we're supporting financially, whether it's through the Great Commission offering, a general budget. But now they've left our congregation, we're supporting them financially, we're praying for them, and now we're going. And I love that approach where we're all in with these people. We're all in. We're saying we love you, we care about you, we are all in. And I say that, you know, we know these people. If you look at some of the trips we're taking, for example, you think of Chris and Carol Sills. You know, we know the Sills family. They were members here for a number of years before, through Reaching and Teaching, they went to Ecuador. But those are folks we know. You know, I know that Advanced Couples One is in here, Becca Meldridge's BFG. I don't know how long you've been doing it, but most weeks you guys are passing around an envelope. You're putting money in there for Chris and Carol Sills. I don't know how much money's in there. It could be $2 a week. It could be $100 a week. But the point is that every week that's happening. And that's something that congregationally we don't even know about. But these are the types of little things that I see happening all the time. I know there's another BFG just right now that's raising money to buy formula for another missionary. These types of things are happening all the time. We know them. We love them. You know, we're getting ready to go to see Anthony and Mary Basaba. These are people that we know. When Lydia and I, when we bought our last home, we moved in, we put a new chandelier in the foyer. And the clearance for that light fixture is 6'10". So you're thinking to yourself, nobody's going to hit that, right? And I remember telling my wife, as long as Anthony Basaba doesn't come to our house, that the light fixture is going to be great. I kid you not. We put it up. The first person who walks into my house is Anthony Basaba. He needs some boxes. He's getting ready to move to Africa, to Uganda. He walks in, and he bangs his head on that, and he starts shaking everywhere. I thought it was going to break, and I thought, you know what? That's a moment I'll never forget. These are people that we know. You know, Brandon and Crystal Leach, we're going to go see them in Argentina this year. We know the Leaches. We love the Leaches. You know, I know even in our BFG, we've got people that are supporting them on their own. Last year when they had their commissioning service in Illinois, Dr. Sills was preaching that because they're going through Reaching and Teaching. Lydia and I showed up at the church that morning, and I was just shocked to see two pews filled with 9th and O people. That's a long drive to Illinois on a Sunday morning. And I thought, you know, that's the type of church I love to be a part of. It's committed to missions. And in terms of giving, there's so much giving that's happening right now. And obviously you see the Great Commission offering, the card there, 85 grand is our goal this year. We took an 83 last year. I know we're going to get it this year. But man, we're doing so many other things. I think about the Gospel and Grain and how many children are being sponsored currently through our congregation. I don't know how many it is, but it's a lot. It's a lot. And so I'm just encouraged when I hear those things happening. And guys, when we give generously, like the Antioch church did, we continue a tradition established by our founders. You know, a few minutes ago, I had those names up on the screen, and not that you probably remember any of them, but one of the names up there was Cora Potts. Okay, Miss Cora Potts must have been a pretty dynamic lady because her name shows up a number of times in the record books from 9th and O. But as best I can tell, Miss Cora put together our very first missions offering, okay? This was 1909. We had been established as a church plant. We weren't a fully established church yet until 1916. But she put together a fundraiser through just a meal. So you would come to the church, and how you would know how much you'd have to pay was how wide around you were. They put a measuring tape around you, and for every inch around your waist, you had to pay a penny. And I thought, you know what, maybe we should institute that here this year at 9th and O. And I thought, no, I'll get fired. But nonetheless, when you think about what Miss Cora Potts did, that's really is pretty an insignificant event, right? I mean, come on, they probably raised a few dollars back in 1909. But I tell you what, an enduring gospel influence is made up of seemingly insignificant acts. Enduring gospel influence is made up of seemingly insignificant acts. And that's why we have to continue to create seemingly insignificant acts over and 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 over again, because we just don't know how God might use them. So when you pull out that Vision 2017 card this next month, and it says, I got to give away 10 more cards. This time it's to the Fall Fest. Just know God is going to use those things. We have to trust, we have to pray, and keep creating these insignificant acts. But I want to take the theoretical to the tangible for just a moment. I want us to imagine that there's someone maybe from this far section over here, and you know, they want to be involved in missions at 9th and O. And this group of people, they're like, you know what? You know, we don't have a lot of money to give to the Great Commission offering. This is a season of life, but you know what I can do? I can pray that God would use the Great Commission offering. So this someone in this group of people here says, you know what, every day I'm going to pray for that Great Commission offering and that God would use it in an amazing ways to bring salvation to the nations. And then someone in this group says, you know, I'm going to pray for the GCO, but I'm going to commit. I'm going to commit to give an X number of dollars. And it's a sacrifice for you all. But you say, you know what, I'm going to give to it because it's important. And this person, they're praying for it. You're giving. You're praying for it. God is bringing a community together to do missions together. And then someone in this section over here is like, you know what? I would love to go on a mission trip this year, but I can't. I just can't swing it. Life's happening. Maybe you don't have the income. Maybe you got a new baby. That's a high possibility in this church. Whatever is going on. But you commit to say, I'm going to pray for one mission trip. Maybe I'm going to pray for the Ethiopian mission trip. So every day, you say, you know, I'm going to lift up a prayer. God, bring that team together. Allow the funds to be there. Use them in mighty ways. Prepare for great things for that team. And then someone in this group says, you know what? I'm going to go. I've been wanting to go on a mission trip for a long time. I've run out of excuses. It's time for me to go. I don't quite have enough money, but thanks to these people, I got enough money because I'm getting a Great Commission offering scholarship. So all of a sudden, you see what's happened is these people are praying for the GCO. These people are giving to the GCO. These people are praying for mission trips. These people are going on mission trips. And now we got somebody on the mission field. And we're on this trip. We're in Ethiopia. And we're just preparing to see what God has before us, okay? Now, this group over here, they haven't been a part of this whole conversation, but you're involved in missions, don't worry. You hear about the mission trip, you hear about it in the worship service, maybe in your BFG, maybe you know somebody going. So you're praying for that trip. You're praying that God would do great things through Gospel and Grain and through Ethiopia. So all of us together are involved in missions together, and it's all seemingly insignificant acts, but it's not seemingly insignificant. And what I want to do is I want to take this to the tangible. I'm going to show you a video that's of terrible quality. No worship pastor in the world other than Craig Sheff would let this get past. But I'm going to show you a terrible, terrible quality video. And I got it right here. I got it on my chest. I don't really want them to know I'm filming. But this is us in Ethiopia. I'm there with Jeff Vibbert. Jeff probably remembers this moment. Going into the house of Bakalu, my sponsor child. We're going to go meet his mother. And we got some other 9th and O'ers with us. We got a Ethiopian lady there who speaks the language. She's our interpreter. She's a Christian. We're going into this home, and we're going to see what God has in store. Show the clip. So we sit down and we have a conversation. And God just begins to move in that moment. And I'm talking to Bakalu's mom, and I'm asking questions about Bakalu's personality, what is he like, this and that. And eventually the translator says to me, "Blake, is there anything else you'd want to say?" Which is like, wink, wink, why don't you share the gospel? That's what you're here for, right? And so I began to talk to her, and I segue with Easter, because Easter was just a couple days away, and we start talking about Easter, and I'm sharing with her why Easter is important to our family, how we celebrate it, and I use that just to share the gospel in a simple way. And there's all of a sudden a lot of emotion happening. There's crying going on. I'm a guy. There's women crying. I get that. I don't really know exactly what's happening. If you remember correctly, I don't understand heavy accents, let alone other languages. So I don't really know what's being said. But I can see that God is moving in Bakalu's mom. Something's happening here. And this is really an insignificant act in one sense. I'm fumbling through the gospel. I'm sharing it. I don't really know if it's getting translated properly. And then the translator says, "You need to pray for her and pray for her to pray to receive the gospel." So I begin to pray, and I pray what felt like a really powerful prayer. I don't know how much is getting translated to her. I know the Lord knows what's happening here. And it just seemed like a powerful moment. The Spirit was there. And we walk out. And the interpreter says to me, "You know, she prayed to receive Christ." I'm like, "She did?" I said, "That's great. That's amazing." And she said, "Well, but you're a white person. She's never had a white person in her home before. Why don't I go back and make sure this was genuine?" So I said, that's exactly what you need to do. A few days later, she goes back, and her report was, "I believe it's a genuine conversion that this lady has had. But you know what? I wouldn't have been there. Jeff wouldn't have been there. The other folks who were on that mission trip very well likely may not have been there in that place, in that spot, if it hadn't been for these people and these people and these people and these people and these people." Guys, gospel influence is a community endeavor. It's a community endeavor. We're in this together. We're in this together. So with joy, let us influence. With joy, let us die. With joy, let us be forgotten, because that's what winning looks like when your name is already written in the book of life. This is what we're here for. You know, if we believe in prayer and we believe that God uses prayer, it's only fitting that we would practice that this morning. What I want to do is I want to transition us into a time of praying for our gospel influence and praying for our opportunities coming up in 2018. And let me just explain to you what's happening. We've got some folks who are going to be coming out here onto the stage. And these are the folks that are going to be leading some of our missions endeavors this next year. Many mission trips, missions partners, our Great Commission offering. And what we're going to do right now is I'm going to give them a moment just to come up to the mic, introduce themselves, say who they are. And after they're done doing that, I'm going to dismiss them into the crowd. And they're going to be scattered throughout the aisles here. And what we're going to do is I'm going to open us up in prayer, or I'm going to pray for us in just a moment as they're walking out. But what I want you to do is I want you to stand up, if you're physically able and you feel comfortable, stand up, and I want you to just go circle around one of these individuals. Maybe it's the person that's standing right next to you, or maybe the Lord has put one of these names on these banners on your heart, and you want to go surround that person and pray for them. So I'm going to pray in just a minute. We're going to have a time of you all praying around these individuals, and we'll close with Liz Needlemeyer, who's on our missions team, oversees our mission trip. She's going to close that time out in prayer, and then we'll turn it back over to Craig to continue to lead us in worship. But Drew, why don't you start us off, Ben?
Hey, my name's Drew Smith. I'm the youth pastor here at 9th and O Baptist Church. My wife, Kate, and I are very passionate about equipping our students for missions and teaching them to model our Savior and spreading the good news of the kingdom, which is why we are very excited that this year, for the first time, we will be taking the youth to World Changers in Charlotte, North Carolina this June.
Good morning, 9th and O. I'm Cole McCollum. And I remember sitting in BFG earlier this year and last year listening to Brandon and Crystal Leach talk as they worked through their call to missions and ultimately their deployment to Argentina. My family and many others were touched by their commitment to ministry here at 9th and O, as well as their devotion to go wherever the Lord led. Earlier this year, through reaching and teaching, the Leeches made the journey to South America, and we're excited to visit them next October in 2018 and support them and encourage them in the work that they're doing through community outreach and pastoral training. Join us.
Good morning, Ninth and Oath. How are we doing this morning? My name's Larry Buchanan, and some might say you've seen me around the church working a little bit here and there, and I've driven the bus a lot of places. I've been over on mission trips. I've also, but right now I'd like to let you know how excited I am about Oneida. We're going to Oneida. We went there last year. We had a great time. We're going again because we had so much fun. And Oneida is a Bible Institute where you get to work and you also get to meet a lot of children from all over the world. So we'd love to have you guys come. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Liz Howell. I'm a new member on the missions team this year. My husband Adam and I love Christmas and we love Easter. And we have a strong burden for the Great Commission all year long. Our church's Great Commission offering starts in December as we celebrate the joys of Christmas. And it ends in Easter as we reflect on the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. The GCO offering given at this time helps us to support Lottie Moon, Annie Armstrong, mission trip scholarships, adoption scholarships, and our ministry partners like Gospel and Grain and Reaching and Teaching. Thank you so much for your support of the GCO offering.
Good morning, guys. I'm Gabriel Heinerman. My wife, Rebecca, and I have seen Gospel and Grain become a reality. It started in 2016, and we've taken several trips there. We're excited to go back this next April. We've been with the families of those whom we serve in the project, and we also get to teach the kids to love Jesus through song and teach them to love his word through VBS, and we serve the staff that we're ministering with along there too, so we hope that you'll come with us in April.
Hi, I'm David Sills, and along with my wife Mary, we get to lead Reaching and Teaching International Ministries. We've been church members here for over 14 years, and since we've been here, we continue to travel around the world. What we've seen is a common necessity around the world for deep discipleship and pastoral training, theological education, leadership training. And so Reaching and Teaching International Ministry seeks to do that. We take teams of people just like you. We also send career missionaries around the world. Our goal is all of God's people going into all the world, faithfully obeying all of the Great Commission. And we're thankful for Ninth and O for the Great Commission offering and how you support us and help us to do this very necessary ministry.
I'm Jason Mackey, and my wife Amanda and I have been at Ninth and O for 8 or 9 years, served in various ministries, but one that I'm particularly passionate about is the ministry of reaching and teaching in Ecuador. And so I have the opportunity to lead a trip to Ecuador this summer to train pastors, and we invite you to go. There's a place for you, for both men in training and women in helping and teaching women and children, and we'd love for you to come and to go with us as we minister alongside former Ninth and O members Chris and Carol Seals there in Ecuador.
Good morning, Ninth and O. I'm Caleb Niedermeyer. My wife, Liz, is on the missions team, and we both have a great heart for seeing the gospel spread throughout the world. Next year, we get to take an in-country short-term missions trip to Colorado, just north of Denver in Loveland, to be with former Ninth and O members Dave and Kelly Harry. They're doing a revitalization, and there are many different challenges that come along with that, and so we get to partner with them and help them serve their community and see their church grow into a healthy, growing, vibrant community.
Hi, I'm Ted Kantorski, and I'm excited to go see Mary and Anthony Basaba in Uganda next year. We're all excited to see them. You might remember them. They were members here. And this is a fact. If you stack them on top of each other, they're 16 feet tall, two of them together, almost positive. They're working with SOS in Uganda, and They're doing a lot of great stuff there. They're doing some medical help to the local community. They're teaching the local villages a trade. They're educating children and pastors in the area. And so we really feel like God is calling us to go there, and so that's where we're going to go.
Good morning, 9th and O. My name's Preston Peterson. And my wife and I, Erica, back here, we've been members here almost 10 years, and we started Gospel in Grain. We are very excited to be a partner of 9th and O. We're a young family. I work a full-time job, but we pursued the call of adoption 5-6 years ago, and that has led us to the point we are today to be very involved with the people of Ethiopia, specifically the children and families of the Mercado District. The Lord has called us there, and it's through a lot of sacrifice and a lot of involvement, but we're excited about it. We're excited about the work there. And so because of that call, the Lord is really worked through 9th and O and the partnership that's been created, and really specifically through the GCO offering. Without that offering, we could not do what we're doing. So many of you support us through child sponsorship and obviously monthly giving, but the GCO is near and dear to our hearts. We're feeding these children's bellies, and we're reaching their hearts, and we're thankful for the partnership that allows us to do that.
Thank you, guys. Go ahead and take off, go to your spots into the worship center. As I just mentioned, what we're going to do is the music's going to start, so you're going to hear some music in the background, but I'm going to pray for us. And after that, I want you guys just, if you feel led, stand up, circle around these folks, begin to pray for them. In just a minute, Liz will close out our time of prayer before Craig starts to lead us again. So let's pray. Father, we desperately need you to work in and through us. Lord, I pray that we would be faithful to go, to proclaim, to reach out here in Louisville, in Kentucky, in our nation, around the globe. And that, God, we need you to move. We need you to do big things through us, Lord. God, we desire to see your name advance throughout the earth. God, I pray that you would use us in 2018. Lord, you would stir our hearts to not be ashamed of the gospel, but to believe the gospel, to act on the gospel, and to live out the gospel, and to go. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.